Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. You could say this was George's final stealth lesson. Be kind, be generous, love your family, be open-minded, and look what happens. You can change someone's life. And George is doing that thanks to his family, his friends.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince is back on Monday. Mike Spaulding in studio today, this Friday. Friday before Father's Day. Lots to get to this hour. Got a lot to cram into. For Father's Day, got a great story I want to share with you. But before we do that, want to make sure that you know of the set list that Greg Pancake Hill has created in honor of Dad. Something you can run all weekend long if you'd like on Spotify or anywhere you play your music. You can text the word DAD to the talk and text line 855-616-1620, and Greg will send you back his set list. Also, you can always send in a suggestion or two as well, because Greg's always open to suggestions. Doesn't mean he's going to play it, but he's open to suggestions. Could always throw that on the set list as well. Also, we did get a pretty good one here, Greg, from the 608. An epic dad fail. We always like honoring dad with these dad fails when they're trying to do something right, you know, when their heart's in the right place and it just kind of backfires. Here's one from the 608. My epic dad fail goes way back when he was hooking up my new Atari, the back of the TV, and there was a huge blue arc and a loud bzzzt. And there you go. No Atari for you. So yeah, that's not bad. I do have one as well. I'll give you a hint. We'll share it later. My epic dad fail for my dad. There you go. There's the hint. Wanted to share this story though with you. So this is a remarkable story about a man who had six children, an amazing figure who not only led a family, but also led a business, and how this family simply wanted to honor their dad, and how it turned into something so much larger.
He's done it! 3,000 for Robin!
Brewers Hall of Famer Robin Yount.
Bonnie has a very good opening 100 meters.
Olympian Bonnie Blair.
He made it! Tony Smith!
And NBA champion and Tosa East alum Tony Smith. These three, along with many other former athletes, have one thing in common. George Leaf. George and Ruth Leaf were the proud parents of six children. George, Karen, Kathy, Jim, David, and Ann.
It's tough raising six kids. I have no idea how they did it. That's a lot of work.
What I admire so much about my dad is just what a kind and gentle man he was.
Jim and David Leaf are third generation owners of ITU AbsorbTech in New Berlin. Father George ran the company before them.
He overcame having no formal schooling.
Surround himself with good people to fill in what he perceived as the gaps around his education.
He put together a terrific life in spite of the fact that he was a type 1 diabetic virtually his whole life.
George lived with type 1 diabetes, which is different than type 2. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. Your pancreas doesn't create any insulin, so you have no way to control your blood sugar. A blood sugar too high can be catastrophic to your body.
Every morning and every night, Mom would go to the refrigerator and get out a little steel box that had the syringes in it, and she'd give him a shot.
Most of the time, since we just grew up with it, it was there. They didn't really try to hide it, but they weren't really, you know, out about it. There was no drama that went with it.
Whether they did it consciously or not, I think Mom and Dad kind of protected us from the true ugly nature of the disease.
George was diagnosed as a boy in 1929. He lived at a time when there was very little done to treat the disease, other than to watch your diet and to exercise.
He was able to do that with very crude technology.
So George would live with type 1 diabetes while also donating money for research to diabetes, while also raising a family and also running a business.
He taught stealth lessons. You didn't know you were being taught, but you were.
Stealth lessons. Perhaps that's what happened next. You see, George loved sports as well, and he especially enjoyed the links.
He loved to play golf. He wasn't particularly good at it, but he enjoyed the experience.
In 2006, a year before he died, the Leafs had a plan. Let's put together a small golf outing in honor of Dad. Maybe raise a few bucks. And just like Dad's done in the past, we can donate it to diabetes research.
It was a friends and family and business event. And we did it late in the year. And I remember we went talking to people saying, before you put your golf clubs away for the winter, how about come and play one more event? And we'll do it. It's a tribute to my dad, but we'll also raise a few bucks. And when I say a few, it was really very modest.
So it all worked out. They raised a little cash, and they honored Dad. But then something happened. The Leafs met a bulldog.
I was on the phone with a staffer from the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And at the end of it, almost in an offhanded way, she says, oh, by the way, Jim, do you know Ken Sanders, the relief pitcher from the Brewers? And I said, well, I know who he is. I know he plays a lot of golf at Tuckaway. And she just said, you ought to call him.
Brewers reliever Ken Bulldog Sanders. He pitched for the Crew in the early 70s, and he had a grandson living with type 1 diabetes. So when he heard about this golf event, he jumped at the chance to get involved.
Getting together with Ken gave him a chance to raise money for diabetes. That really transformed Tee Up for the Cure from being a cute little friends and family event to what it's become today.
See, Bulldog called his friends. Former pro athletes.
But we're not talking about like any athletes. We're talking about Robin Yount. We're talking about MVPs, gold medalists.
I didn't see it coming. I think we were very fortunate when we got Robin Yount agreed to do the first one. It was like, oh my gosh, Ken can pull this stuff off. And we had a glimmer of what it could do. But didn't really expect it to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now this event to honor George Leaf has turned into an annual outing with scores and scores of foursomes, scores and scores of celebrity athletes. And since its inception, it's raised more than $1 million for diabetes research.
All right, so what do you think your dad would say if he saw what the enormity of the event has become?
That's a great question. I can't say I've ever thought about that. He was an incredibly humble, very gentle person. I think it'd be a big aw shucks moment that we have his name all over it.
Being able to track this down and being able to help people have a full, very active life, do what you want to do, define yourself, don't be defined by the disease. He'd just be floored by this.
You could say this was George's final stealth lesson. Be kind, be generous, love your family, be open-minded. And look what happens. You can change someone's life. And George is doing that thanks to his family, his friends, and a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. It really is an amazing event. I've been there for Tee Up for the Cure. Obviously raising money for research of type 1 diabetes, which is near and dear to my heart because I'm a type 1 diabetic. It's at Grand Geneva this year. If you have any interest in learning more about George, learning more about what they're doing with Tee Up for the Cure, want to be a part of the event, want to donate to the event, just text the word GOLF, G-O-L-F, to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, GOLF. 855-616-1620. I think one of the most amazing aspects of this story, and the Leafs, say Jim and David would tell me multiple times, like, it's just how amazing all of these athletes are. Like, a lot of these folks just, yeah, I'll do it. Like, the fact that Robin Yount was like, yeah, sure, I'll come in there and be a part of that, that gave it so much legitimacy, for lack of a better word, and the amount of attention now that it's gotten. It's just so awesome, raising more than $1 million. And that money goes to two separate entities. It goes to Children's Wisconsin for what they're doing there at the Max McGee Center, and also to Breakthrough T1D, which is formerly JDRF, now called Breakthrough T1D, and what they're doing to research and to cure and prevent type 1 diabetes. So pretty amazing event. Thank you to the Leaf family, and thank you to Mr. George Leaf for the inspiration. Good song honoring Dad on this Friday before Father's Day. If you'd like to see the whole set list from Greg Pancake Hill, just text the word DAD to 855-616-1620. He will send you back that list. What you can't send us, or at least you won't get a link back, is Dutch roll. We don't have that in our talk and text line. What is a Dutch roll? And why do you not want this to happen when you are flying a plane? Well, it happened recently on a Southwest Airlines flight. One of its 737 MAX 8 aircrafts experienced what's known as a Dutch roll while flying between Phoenix and Oakland. It's hard to describe. It's basically the name given to the combination of a yawing motion when the tail slides and the plane rocks. So the tail is sliding left and right, while the plane is also rocking wingtip to wingtip up and down. Does that make sense?
It does.
So you're sliding and you're rocking at the same time. And that is what was happening.
General rule of thumb.
It took an hour to get it under control. What we do know is the airplane landed. I don't know how much elapsed time before the Dutch roll began and the pilots were actually able to get it more or less under control.
That's CBS News aviation safety analyst Robert Sumwalt there.
No, I was just going to say, general rule of thumb, if your airplane's making the same motion as like the inflatable tube guy outside of a car dealership, that's not a good position to be in.
Yeah, but would you rather have this than, say, just standard turbulence? Is this a little bit better than what turbulence could be when it's shaking and whatnot? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like if I was going to pick something, would this be a little bit easier to handle as a passenger? Anything with the word roll in it, I don't want anywhere near.
Father of mine, tell me where have you been? You know, I just closed my eyes. My whole world is so.
Wisconsin's morning news.
Father of mine, take me back to the day.
We'll celebrate and have some fun with some dad fails coming up in just a minute or two here on Wisconsin's Morning News. And I use that term affectionately, having fun, like the endearing quality of dad trying to do right, but doing something so, so wrong. So we'll enjoy some dad fails here in a minute. But first, wanted to wrap up, Mike, some of this MPS story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the school board on Thursday night did pass a $1.5 billion budget for next year. Now, there's still some issues here. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says MPS could still be docked up to $50 million in state aid for the next school year because of previous errors, previous accounting errors and whatnot. So if that state aid is, in fact, reduced, the board could make more budget cuts, raise local property taxes, et cetera, if they need to. Now, one thing to point out, just because the budget was passed doesn't mean that tweaks can't be made anyway. Like, they have until October 1 to really do some of that. Now, there's also talk of like cutting 300 staff positions. And as of now, what we don't know is how many of those positions are actually vacant or not. Oftentimes when you hear that, oh, well, you know what, there's no one in those jobs anyway. In this case, that may not be the case, but just don't know for sure if all 300 are vacant or if there's people working in some of those.
I think
positions.
We had the story earlier this week where there were 12 people in like the district's financial office.
Right,
there are
right.
12 openings essentially. So, I mean, if you trim five of those, that could be part of what those cuts
right,
look like.
Right. And they have another opening there. The CFO officially is out in the district. Now, news of that came out Thursday night. It sounds like she has been gone before this time, but so she is gone. So you have no CFO, no comptroller, no superintendent. And that was part of the issue that some of the parents and other residents complained about during the board meeting Thursday night was, hey, you're passing a budget. You don't even have any financial people. How can you pass a budget? Now, there were others, though, that are pushing this forward saying, look, we got to be able to pay people, get this passed, and then let's make the necessary cuts and tweaks later if we need to. So that's where that stands now. Obviously, the state is still involved. Obviously, there's a recall now underway for four board members. So far from done are they at MPS, but a school budget, at least for now, has been passed. $1.5 billion. It is 8:42. We do it on Fridays, a special pancake breakfast next. Oh, man, you're going for it now. Oh, this is fantastic. Greg Pancake Hill has been putting together a Father's Day list in honor of Dad. A set list, if you will. All the best music that honors Dad or has some kind of Dad component. in honor of Father's Day. We have it on our website. You can also text the word dad to 855-616-1620 to the WDTMJ Talking Text Line, and Greg will send you that set list. And in honor of Father's Day, a very special pancake breakfast. Let's get to it.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Did I just ruin it for you? I got you with the old one, and then
oh boy,
kind of brought it all down.
We're leaning in now.
Let's tease to that. We'll get your story behind this song in a little bit. All right, so... Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
That's all right.
So normally I don't do this kind of thing, right, with this segment. I've cultivated the pancake breakfast special to be something where I go on and on, right, about some ridiculous story in the news, or I have some weird take, fun audio drops, etc. But today, I just want to save time to talk about my dad. I call him Chuck. I've done it my whole life. Never really questioned why. You should know that Chuck is, technically speaking, my stepdad. However, that doesn't mean he's any less of a dad. There didn't need to be a qualifier there. He was my dad my entire life. He personified every definition of being a father. I can repeat so many Chuck stories, and what's most important to me is that my friends can too. Like, the impact that he makes in just a few-minute conversation is one that just sticks with you. So I got this text earlier from my mom this morning. She reminded me of a story. Back when I was about 4 or 5 years old, Chuck and I went to the park. Beautiful summer day, the sun is shining. Why I remember that is because it rained the day before. So the fact that this day had been building up in anticipation and it was finally here made me one excited kid. On the way home, I rode my bike. I was going down a hill. Well, the hill, a little steeper than I thought. Started standing up, got cocky, and I started to pick up speed. A lot of speed. Behind me were frantic shouts of, "Brake! Hit the brake!" But it didn't matter. I couldn't hear him. Because I, myself, was having a flashback. I remember this very vividly. It was a flashback to a time driving in the car with Chuck. I saw a road sign. I asked him, "What's that sign with the truck going down the hill?" Maybe you've seen one driving before. He explains to me that trucks, if they're going out of control, they need to go onto the side of the road, onto the gravel. They can slow down and hit their air brakes, whatever. Now, if that's not the case, don't hit me up on the talk and text line, because in true dad fashion, he delivered that answer with confidence and poise, regardless of actually knowing the answer. But in this case, I'm pretty sure he was right. So that's what I did. I went off into the ditch. I didn't leave enough room, however, to the roadside that was oncoming, and I smacked into a no parking sign, flipped over my handlebars, and he carried me, as I cried, all the way home. He took care of me. He reassured me that everything would be okay. He helped me keep track of how big and blue the bruise was on my leg from hitting that sign. We would circle it in marker, keep a track every time. He taught me so many things, right? He taught me how to mow the lawn, plant tomatoes, ride a bike, kind of. How to critically think, how to question things that need to be questioned, how to listen and how to be patient, and how to look at life through a humorous lens. And now, how to be a dad to my son. So thank you for letting me speak about my dad. Chuck, I love you, man. Thanks for everything. I can't wait for more stories of maybe letting Levi ride down the hill and be like, "Hey, make sure to hit your brake beforehand," before he hits the parking sign. So I appreciate you guys letting me take a few minutes for him.
Absolutely. Happy Father's Day, Chuck. Indeed. And happy Father's Day cake as well.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
Silver dollar.
First round, I will. Yes.
So we were talking about dad fails, right? When their heart was in the right place, or trying to do something that was going to be super awesome, and it just doesn't work out that way. So I was trying to think of one. I know plenty for Arnie, I suppose, but I asked him if he could share it, actually, because he would tell the story better than me. We spent a lot of time on Geneva Lake. Listeners know that. And my dad, big boater, loves being out in the water, and he was telling me this story.
In the mid-80s, I decided that we needed to get a fishing boat so that we could catch the lunkers, the big ones. It was a Starcraft with a 25-horsepower Johnson outboard.
All right, yeah. So it sounds awesome, but okay. You know, it's a fishing boat.
That's awesome.
On one of our early voyages, I turned east out of the bay and headed for the town of Lake Geneva.
And this is a hike. It's a big lake.
As we entered Geneva Bay, the motor began to lose power. It kept going slower and slower until it stopped. Try as we might, we couldn't get it started.
So what do you do at this point? You're on this giant lake in a fishing boat with your kids, and I'm pretty sure my uncle might have been on the boat too, and you have nowhere to go.
So we got out her only paddle and slowly got it to shore.
And by the way, so a lot of Lake Geneva is private, so you can walk around the whole lake, but there's not a lot of public access, so to speak. So we had to go to a private area to try to figure out what to do.
It was a pier on the Wrigley Estate. I tied up the boat.
Yeah, so this is the Wrigley Estate. So there's a bunch of mansions in one little stretch of Lake Geneva. And this is like where the old Wrigley folks had these giant houses. So that's the pier that we tie up on our little fishing boat with no power, trying to see if we can get help. As the sun is going down,
I explained our problem to them. And one said that they would tow us back to Williams Bay.
Yeah, so that's Dad saying how he explains to the guys that he went up to the door to get some help. These guys were clearly in some kind of religious service because they all had white robes on, clearly disrupted whatever it was they were doing. Yeah, sorry. But they could not have been nicer. They came out.
And returned to the house. They shortly came back with a third man, and they all were wearing swimming suits. They fired up a big cruiser and threw us a line, and then towed us all the way back to Williams Bay.
Yeah, so brought us all the way home. It was probably 10 p.m. by the time we got home. Here's the thing that I should point out. It sounds like, oh, you know what? That's not a bad story. Oh, that's not too bad. So you had trouble with the boat once. We've had trouble with the boat lots of times. this is just one example of us being stranded on that giant lake. Love you, Pop. Happy Father's Day.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Should be a beautiful couple of days.
He was a giant.
Oof. Man. I want to smile when I think about my dad. Sunny and comfortable today, a high of 78. Tonight, clear and comfortable, a low of 56. Saturday, the high is 78, partly cloudy. There is a slight chance for rain tomorrow. On Sunday, Father's Day, slight chance for a storm early on, otherwise partly cloudy. Warm and humid on Sunday, a high of 86, and got some more humidity rolling in Monday and Tuesday. The forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Campini, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Reminder, if you'd like to learn more about that super cool golf event that was done in honor of a father here locally that's turned into this huge event, it's called Tee Up for the Cure. You can always text the word golf to the talk and text line 855-616-1620. The Political Power Hour is next, and I think they got a couple of things to discuss today. I think there are a few things. Vince Vetrano is back Monday. Mike Spalding, thank you for your help today. Adam Roberts, thank you. He's in for Debbie. And thank you, Greg Pancake Hill, for everything. And by the way, Pancake, again, first ever Father's Day for you on Sunday. Happy Father's Day, buddy.
Yeah, right back at you, Eric. Appreciate you.